Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Nicole, executive producer of the Star and Crescent Report, and unfortunately we will not have a live show today due to some difficulties uploading and scheduling a show with Blog Talk Radio. So hopefully we'll have that issue resolved by Thursday, and until then, listen and enjoy. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handled like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Blog Talk Radio.
In a little tent, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. So now I go. And I say, brother, help me see. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there were times I thought I wouldn't last. I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gonna come. I said I know.
Change is gonna Almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say this. I want to take the time out quickly because I see calls are being dropped. As I was doing the intro, I saw dozens of calls being dropped. So that's the norm. You know, if you're a new listener, you may get dropped, call right back in. If you're online and you get knocked offline, refresh your page and do it again, okay? Just keep doing it. Don't let the devil overcome you. Now, you may hear a little creak in my voice. That's because we've been having bad weather here, and I mean real bad. Sky's clear right now, but about 45 minutes ago and all last night, it was storming. I mean, really storming. And so the pressure changes and all this stuff, and sometimes I lose my voice or get hoarse or whatever like that. But it's okay. It's okay because we're here with the truth, and we're going to give you the truth, all right? And today's show is titled Standing in the Ashes of American Empire. And one of the main reasons why I want the title of the show today to be that is because I realized through watching multimedia, you know, the Facebook and the, I'm not hip to Instagram yet, but the Twitter and all of that stuff, I see the conversation. And a lot of you are going on as if this thing is going on forever. And you're not realizing time. I say that often because the messenger teaches us that no matter where you talk, what you talk about, no matter what you discuss, the time is the most important thing that you can teach on, because the time of this world has a limit. And the next world is an infinite world. But some of you are not recognizing that we're in the ashes of the other world, the old world, the world of Yaqub or the world of Adam. We're standing in the ashes, and the strongest and the most powerful empire or nation in the annals of the last 6,000 years has been America. And she being the most dominant and most influential power and the strongest pillar of white power around the globe is being removed step by step. And God is showing his justification for her removal. He's not just taking her out. He's showing you a justification. The way the gods work is that they show you why they're going to take out something and why they're going to replace it with something new, something better. If you look around America and the white world in general, you don't even have to look around Africa and Asia and South and Central America and the Caribs. You don't even have to look over there and see dissatisfaction. You can look right here, and the dissatisfaction is not only amongst the people whom they have exploited, but the dissatisfaction had exploded amongst their own kind. They are no longer happy with the rule that they have enjoyed over us and others for the last 300 to 400 years. They're no longer happy with it because things are leveling out. They're losing that long and advantage. They're losing the power. They're losing sway. They're losing influence. They're losing, in essence, they're losing the domination that they have enjoyed and the privileges that they once enjoyed to be able to do this and do that without question. They're losing it. And this is causing them to unwind mentally. And see, with America, with Great Britain, with Europe, in this death throat of empire, in this death throat of white power being destroyed, they're lashing out against, of course, you and I, we're the number one people that they lash out, and Islam. I want you to stop for a minute, and I want you to think of this. Prior to 9/11, there was not Islamophobia in America as it is right now. Right? Why was this implemented on 9/11, 2001, why was this implemented? Maybe we'll discuss this on another show. But I want you to just ponder that over. And from that point on, the wheels went to churning and churning. Now, mind you, this had been in the works prior to that. America just doesn't do things, boom, and just go. She implements plans over years and decades, right? Just like she implemented one to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi, as I told you in an 80s movie called, I forget the name, I talked on it before, but the star was Ray Liotta. Is it No Way Out or something like that? And Ray Liotta was in this this prison, but on an island. And he was having flashbacks because they set him up and put him in prison, and he was having flashbacks. And in these flashbacks, he was in heavy fire and shooting, and he was accused of gunning down children and all this stuff. But the crux of what I'm saying to you is this. This was in the 80s. In the heart of why he was in prison was because America went into Benghazi, started an uprising and a rebellion against the Libyan officials. This was in the 80s. You can go look at this. And all of a sudden, as I said on one show before, where did the uprising in Libya start? In Benghazi. Is that not right? Huh? And what was the excuse that America used? The killing of civilians, women, and children, right? The same thing that's in that movie. This was no accident. This was not by chance. These things are strategically planned over the years. And so the empire, as she lashes out, she knows she has a short time, so she moves against Syria, but she's being rebuffed there, and she's becoming desperate. Some of the first Africans, some of the first slaves were brought from there, that area there. And so she thought she could move on Syria, not just, people have this twisted. They think it's all about pipelines. And it's not, excuse me, I'm drinking water because I told you about my voice. Yes, the pipelines and what, as they call the petrol stand, meaning going all the way from Iran through Iraq, through Syria, up through Turkey, up through Greece, to route these pipelines to bypass Russia's Gazprom's pipeline so that they can weaken Russia economically. That has a great part. But the truth is, they are after Russia. The truth of the matter is they're after Russia. Because I hear some brothers say the ultimate goal is Iran. That's not the ultimate goal. That is one of the goals along the way. Because Iran does not have what it takes to destroy America. They're after their equal, their peer. It ain't no step by step if I grind down their allies. Which the strongest of the allies in the Middle East or Central Asia is Iran. If I go after Iran, which when they do go after Iran, this will set off a chain of events. And this will lead to a major, major explosion in violence in the Middle East. And I do believe that this is when America gets kicked out. Because I'm watching so many things, but we'll go into that on a different show. But again, Iran is one of the prizes along the way to Russia and to China. This is their underbelly, like Afghanistan. So the empire is desperate. I have to say all of these things. not getting this from other people. I hear them talking and touching on things now that they weren't touching on 5 years ago because they haven't listened to the show. But they yet don't know how to go into it and connect the dots. They don't see, yes, this is such and such, and we need gold and we need silver. Brothers and sisters, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we will have gold and we will have silver and we will have money when God prevents them from having the luxury to make money or to acquire gold and silver. Do you believe what he said? If you believe what he said, then that's sufficient for you. Okay? Now, with all of this said, back to America. Being the most dominant power, the most arrogant, the most influential power in the annals of the last 4,000 to 6,000 years, she has become inebriated with power of what she used to be, a thought of what she used to be, the things that she used to have, the influence that she used to have. And this is causing a mental breakdown in the leaders and in the military planners. This is why they're no longer military superior to China or Russia anymore. You'll see in some of their write-ups, they'll say, we no longer have the advantage. And then you'll see other write-ups say, well, we still have the military edge. Why would you see these two different opinions? Because one is dealing with reality, and one is dealing with, well, we still can overcome them because we're powers. Listen to me good. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that in the end of America, in the fall of America, her enemies will possess what she possesses. America has fifth-generation airplanes. Russia and China have them also, right? She has destroyers. Russia and China have them also. She has nuclear submarines. Russia and China have them also. Is that not right? This was not the case 40, 50, 60 years ago. America's technology was 10 and 20 years ahead of the rest of them. But due to the will of time, bringing about the culmination of the judgment, these things had to take place. And guess what? America helped. She helped China. Didn't know she was helping her own doom. She thought, listen, when you're drunk, you do things that you don't know or that you don't expect to come back and bite you because your thinking is not clear. It's hazy thinking. This is America. She has been drunk on power. She's been drunk on wealth. Think about the madness that she entered into when she robbed her own gold, her coins of silver in 65 and 66. She never thought that that would come back to bite her. When Muhammad was telling her that 65 and 66 would prove to be fatal years in the fall of America, America didn't think nothing about that. She didn't realize that she would be helped with this catalyst that would cause the downfall of her economic situation, her economic system. Robbing all of her coins of gold, of the silver contents of them. And now, this is one of the main things that every alternative website talks about. Is that not right? Of course it is. Why? Because we're now standing in the ashes of American empire. They see it. They smell the smoke. They're looking at the embers of the republic burn and smolder. And they're calling for civil war. Liberty. This is what you hear the white people say. Liberty. Well, what the hell was I with liberty for 400 years? Why weren't you so concerned about liberty when you had free reign and rule over everything and we were screaming out to you that we were being deprived of human rights and liberty and freedom, justice and equality? All of a sudden, when it touches your back, you're talking about freedom and the rule of law. But what was the rule of law from the inception of America even up to this very day? Hell, you can have a video of a police raping, robbing, or killing you, and they'll get acquitted because this is the mentality of America. This is that white mentality. You know, I was reading something, and I advise all of you also, if you can, go to YouTube and Google Dick Gregory on Bill Cosby, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. Go Google that. And listen to what he has to say. And on a lot of this stuff, Mr. Gregory presents a lot of papers. Okay? I want you to go. I just said that for him, just to get that out there to you before it slips my mind. Now, with this thing, let's back up a little bit. With this thing with America, she's so arrogant, right? protesting because of these cops. As a matter of fact, in the same week, I think 7 cops around the nation. When that one cop was acquitted, I think 7 or 8 cops around the nation were acquitted with indisputable evidence that they not only violated their own procedures in their police department, but they violated the rights of the people whom they killed or shot, and they violated the human rights factor. I'm serious. So you see the people screaming and protesting, and God is opening this man to sit up. Some of us got to go. Some of us are sacrificial lambs for the judgment. I know some of you don't want to hear that. Hell, I might be one. You might be one, but it's the truth. For God to get his will done, the blood must be shed, brothers and sisters. Blood was shed to put you in the position that you're in. Blood must be shed to get you out of the position that you have fallen into. I know. Don't get mad at you, brother. I'm just speaking the truth, okay? So, I was listening to them talk about Bill Cosby, and they were talking about the situation at hand, about the jurors, and how the voting was right down the colored lines. The whites voted this, the blacks voted this, and then the killing of these black people, the same thing happens. And most times they try to put an all-white jury because the whites sympathize with law enforcement. You got to remember that law enforcement is just the extension of the slave patrol. You have to realize that. I was listening, and this is the point I was trying to get to. I was listening to this guy. He has a radio show on, I forget where it's coming from, being broadcast from. But anyway, I'm listening to this, and he's always talking about the black condition, and he's going hard in. You can be black and you can be killed. What we need to do to get us right is to get legislation passed. Hell, you got legislation passed right now, saying you're supposed to have the rights of other people. You're supposed to be protected under the law. Did that stop them from killing you? Does that stop them from mistreating you? Does that stop them from treating you less than a human being? And he was talking, and people calling in. That's right, brother. We got to march. We got to protest. We got to do like this, and we got to have legislation, and we got to get into politics. Again, you go back to the Bible. And this guy, I think he's a weekend pastor or something like a youth pastor or something like that. I think they have that in churches now. Youth pastor. I think that's what he is. A youth pastor. And I'm saying to myself, does he not understand Scripture? When God forewarned Moses and the elders of Moses' people to keep the children from integrating into political and cultural system of Pharaoh and his people? Did he not read that? Did he not understand that? Because God gave a warning out that if you integrate, if you assimilate, because they want to assimilate, and we see a lot of our black people trying to assimilate, it brings about integration. And why would you want to integrate with someone that God has deemed your open enemy and has threatened to destroy? Go read your Bible, the first 5 books of Moses. If what I'm saying is not true, come back to me, talk to me, and I'll eat these books on my desk right now. He warned them against integrating into the political and cultural system of Pharaoh. Put it like this, the former masters of Moses and his people. Who are our former masters? Huh? And you're still talking about integrating into the political system at a time when America is under stress and strain from the judgment. So you want to integrate in a system that is imploding. You want to integrate in a political system that is corrupt to the core, that is inherently corrupt. Why? We can make change from the inside. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you have to have common sense and realize that the only thing that's good for the system is to be destroyed. No rebooting, no changing it, just burning it up. You understand? We are standing in the ashes of American empire. My point to you is this. America is so wicked. Even when you have white people trying to defend black people. Sometimes they slip up and say why. They slip up and say things that are not conducive to your freedom. As a matter of fact, I'll let you hear a clip in a minute. This guy, if you listen to this guy, he's talking. He's trying to defend black people in a way. And it kills me because they're always getting white people to try to defend the black viewpoint, right? It just stuns me. Even Press TV is guilty of that. But anyway, and even if you listen, the guy makes points. Then, as he's trying to explain it, he says a little couple things that if you're not paying attention, that'll get up under you. But they were out of pocket. I want you to listen closer to this. This is about 4 minutes, and it's addressing the police killing of black people here in America. All right. And hopefully Blog Talk will allow
A judge
me.
In the U.S. state of Ohio has declared a second mistrial in the case of a white officer who killed an unarmed black motorist during a traffic stop. Hamilton County Judge Leslie Giz made the decision after more than 30 hours of jury deliberations over 5 days. The jurors had said on Friday that they were unable to reach a verdict in the trial of Officer Ray Tenzing from the University of Cincinnati. The first trial against the 27-year-old Tenzing also ended in a mistrial after the jury deliberated 25 hours over 4 days in November without reaching a verdict. This is the latest racially charged police shooting case to show the reluctance of U.S. jurors to convict officers. For more on this issue, we're joined by Richard Silverstein out of Seattle. He's a journalist and political commentator. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Silverstein. So what do you make of this continuity of policy in the U.S., in U.S. courts that fail or perhaps reluctant to find white officers who shoot black citizens not guilty?
Well, I have to say that during the Obama administration, there seemed to be a beginning of a social transformation on this issue, and police officers were beginning to be held more accountable. Some were convicted, some were fired from their jobs for killing unarmed civilians or killing people in suspicious circumstances. However, with the new Trump administration, we have lost all that momentum. The sway has now gone back to the police, and as you said, citizens on juries are very reluctant to convict police officers no matter what they've done, no matter how outrageous the circumstances. A part of this issue is also that we have a gun epidemic in the United States, and we've allowed criminals to be armed, and then we've armed our police officers. So with everyone who wants
and carry it by force or by six or by eight. You understand? And this is the mentality of the people. And you can't fault them for wanting to live. But I just wanted to run that by you, and then you listen to this again. Because some of us, we listen to these interviews, and we don't listen. I told you they throw curveballs while they speak. That's the devil. He's going to throw you a curveball. If he didn't, he wouldn't be the devil. Okay? But listen closer again.
A judge in the U.S. state of Ohio has declared a second mistrial in the case of a white officer who killed an unarmed black motorist during a traffic stop. Hamilton County Judge Leslie Giz made the decision after more than 30 hours of jury deliberations over 5 days. The jurors had said on Friday that they were unable to reach a verdict at the trial of Officer Ray Tenzing from the University of Cincinnati. The first trial against the 27-year-old Tenzing also ended in a mistrial after the jury deliberated 25 hours over 4 days in November without reaching a verdict. This is the latest racially charged police shooting case to show the reluctance of U.S. jurors to convict officers. For more on this issue, we're joined by Richard Silverstein out of Seattle. He's a journalist and political commentator. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Silverstein. So what do you make of this continuity of policy in the U.S., in U.S. courts that fail or perhaps reluctant to find white officers who shoot black citizens not guilty?
Well, I have to say that during the Obama administration, there seemed to be a beginning of a social transformation on this issue, and police officers were beginning to be held more accountable. Some were convicted, some were fired from their jobs for killing unarmed civilians or killing people in suspicious circumstances. However, with the new Trump administration, we have lost all that momentum. The sway has now gone back to the police, and as you said, citizens on juries are very reluctant to convict police officers no matter what they've done, no matter how outrageous the circumstances. A part of this issue is also that we have a gun epidemic in the United States, and we've allowed criminals to be armed, and then we've armed our police officers. So with everyone who wants to have a gun having one, we have these kinds of crazy situations, and the police believe that in almost every circumstance where they feel any sort of threat, no matter how minimal, they need to use a weapon to deal with the situation. The other issue that I wanted to talk about was that we have a situation here in Seattle that we had a pregnant mother of four, a black woman, who was also murdered by police officers on Sunday, and she was mentally ill, and she was holding a knife in her hand when she was shot by the police, but the police do not have any other understanding of how to deal with these situations than with armed force. They don't make use of social welfare personnel. They don't make use of social workers, therapists, mental health professionals, as they should in these situations. And in my city, Seattle, they have killed a number of civilians, Native American artists, black activists, have all been killed by police in situations where it seems to the reasonable person that they shouldn't have used force in those situations. So, unfortunately, this starts from the top, and we have a president who believes in giving police every leeway to do whatever they deem necessary. And so we have this situation where the police get away with murder, literally, and have immunity and impunity in everything that they do.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Silverstein out of Seattle, journalist and political commentator, thank you for your thoughts.
So let me touch on a couple of things, then we'll try to go get some economic stuff, tie this in. He said that we have a gun epidemic. Now, I ask you this. Is there any black gun makers in America? Huh? I'm just asking. Does black people have factories to make guns? So if there's an epidemic, and the epidemic starts in a factory, to blame for that, right? If they're turning out guns and these guns are ending up in the black community, this is a conscious effort so that the people can be justified who are so-called slave patrols going into the black community to justify blowing them away. Now, let me address this about, I'll come back to the epidemic in a second, but about this sister that was killed, this pregnant woman. What the man did not address was that the sister was the one called the police. Yes, she was dealing with mental problems, but she was the one to call the police, and she said that she believed somebody was in her house. Somebody broke in her house, and she had her children there. And she was telling them that when they arrived, she would be the one outside holding a knife. She was getting something to protect her children. They didn't say that, did they? And the police came there, and they knew because they had been to her apartment, her place, several times, so they knew that when she came out, she was coming out like that. And they gunned her down in front of her two children. Gunned? Isn't that not murder? What about double homicide because she was pregnant? You go kill somebody with a baby and see what they do to you. And she did it in front, and they killed her without mercy in front of her two little children. You telling me God not justified in removing a system like this? Huh? So we're standing in the ashes of American empire. You must understand that this must take place. As a matter of fact, let me read. Where's the fall of America? We're going to a clip. Go to page 143. In this, we'll go to We'll go to the second paragraph. But the main point of this, it's the third paragraph, okay? It's the first full paragraph from the top, but the main is the second full paragraph from the top, but it's the fourth paragraph in all, okay? Muhammad says, but the black man is created by the Creator, by nature, and he was made blind, deaf, and dumb by his kidnapping lord and master, the white slave master. I do not think that you can overlook the most positive truth here in this article, that we are now living in the call of the angel to us to come out of her. The her here means the wicked world of the devil. Hold up. What you mean? I thought you said we're coming out. We got to do. Listen to what he says. The her here means the wicked world of the devil. How the hell can you come out of a whole world physically? You can't. You must come out of this world mentally and spiritually and culturally. You must reject what they offer you, the sport, the play, the sexing, the lying, the gambling, the juking all night long. You got to reject that. Come out of her. Because the transformation to righteousness starts within the mind and the heart. This is the her. This is what he's talking about. This is the first part of separation. You understand? This stuff sits right here, right before you, but you have blinders on and you can't see it. And he goes further and says, since we, the black people, were kidnapped and forced into this world of the white race, we must be forced out of this world. So, do you understand what he's saying? When he says, since we were forced into this world, so what we're going to try to do, is explain to you in the simplest of terms to get you an understanding that you should have already had, especially if you were a so-called follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, we're going to break this down for you to the very last compound. Since we who? Black people here in America. Black people were kidnapped and forced into this world of the white race. We must be forced out of this world. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word forced means compelled by force or necessity, done or produced with effort, exertion, or pressure. So, you're not going to come out of here because you have righteousness, because you want to. There must be a compelling event behind, or multiple events, which force you to recognize that you're in the wrong mind state. You're in the wrong place. And get out of here. There must be something that compels you by force, according to the dictionary, or necessity. What is the necessity? That your life may be saved. Right? Are you listening? Because this is right here in the book. And some of you need to understand what words mean. He says, since we, the black people, were kidnapped and forced into this world, or compelled, right, into this world, then we must be forced or compelled out of this world. And he's, what does the dictionary say? By force, if necessary, right? Listen, it says, it is not that you, listen to this good, it is not that you, my people, will accept by just having the freedom to accept. Well, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this, that everybody should wake up. No, it don't work like that, playboy. It doesn't work like that. Because everybody don't see things the same way. And those who have accepted willingly, fine. But God is after an entire people. Therefore, those who have rejected must be beaten, must be put into such a condition when they look left, when they look right, when they look before them, when they look behind them, above them and beneath them, they must realize the reality of the situation and know that only God can get you out of this. And then they humble themselves. Remember Jonah in the Bible? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the black man is Jonah and how he ran from his destiny and how God wanted to make such a great man out of him. But he couldn't see it, so God had to let him fall into the hands of his enemies. And after Jonah was swallowed up into the belly of the whale, meaning prison, poverty, rejection, despair, and he looked around and noticed that he could not do this or he could not do, he had to submit himself after the trials and the tribulations. And once he realized that it was God with all power, and he had submitted himself, God said, according to the Bible, that whale spit him up. But the whale didn't just spit him up. It spit him up on dry land. So he was unharmed. Right? And God made him a great man. Is that not right? We're talking about him right now. That's you. That's me. That's the black man here in America. That's the black woman here in America. But you got to go through this fire. There will, listen to me good, your only safety zone is in God. There is no other safe zone outside of God. You understand? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if I do, charge it to my head and not to my heart, because I want you to understand the time and that you're standing in the ashes of American empire. And she's swinging for the fences, hoping that she can connect with a lucky punch to knock out the will of God and remain the ruler. But we know that's not going to happen. So let's go a little further. Okay? It says, it is not that you, my people, will accept. Why did he emphasize you, my people? Because everybody else is awakening to this fact, except the so-called American Negro. Because you have been so under boot and foot of your oppressor that even when you're reaching for black power, you really don't have the connection to get the full effect of it. You're pumping your fist, you're kinking your hair, you're afroing it, but that's not going to get you power. That's just making you look savage. You understand? Oh, brother, come on, talk back to you. Brother, 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. We promise you we won't clean your clock today unless you step out of line. 347-989-0855. Listen, we go further. He says, it is not that you, my people, he put it in that kind of writing, will accept by just having the freedom to accept of your own choice. No. You will have to be punished. Divinely beaten and destroyed until you accept Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, as your God and Savior, as I and thousands of my followers are doing. Stop right there. How is that connected to Scripture? Remember, in Job, in the book of Job, it says the sons of God was walking to God, right? And they didn't recognize that Satan was amongst them. That's something in itself. To be the sons of God, to walk towards your father, and not know that you have an enemy in your midst, that's something in itself. That's a whole show in itself, is that not right? But it took, according to the Bible, it took God to point out where Satan was. Whence comest thou from, Satan? Huh? He said, from to and fro, from up and down. That's the cross. Meaning he was closing the people up mentally and spiritually with lies and deceit. That's the cross. That's why in the church you got an old song. You're talking about that old rugged cross. And you tell the world what it really stands for. It's a sign or a symbol for suffering and shame. But one day you say you're going to put down that old rugged cross and you're going to pick up your starry crown. What does that mean, black man and black woman? You're talking about putting down that old religion that was handed to you by your former slave master and picking up your natural religion, I would say your natural essence, which is the starry crescent, that universal flag, which is Islam, as taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because we are now standing in the ashes of the American empire. So, to understand the depths of what we're talking about, as the sons of God walked toward God, they didn't realize that Satan was in their midst. Why? Because he walked like them. He dressed like them. He talked like them, right? But God, looking at the actions and the characteristics, knew right off the bat, where comest thou from, Satan? And Satan said, from to and fro, from up and down. That is the cross motion. Is that not right? To and fro, up and down. That's cross. So, as God and Satan was talking, and Satan was telling that, man, they'll give their life. I mean, they'll give everything for their life. And God told him, yeah, you go do what you got to do. And I'm giving you the street lingo of it. He said, and go do X, Y, and Z. Only save his life. And the question should be asked, I thought Jesus was the only one to save lives. Why would in Job God give the power and authority for Satan to save lives? Huh? Because it's there. Go read it. If it's not there, come back on the show, prove it, and I'll eat the whole Bible without salt and pepper, without bread, without water to wash it down. It's right there. And I know some of you are going to take this and run and get on Facebook and talk like you know it and you never came to the show. You do it all the time. You go to Twitter and do the same thing. It's all good. But instead of just talking about it, be about it, okay? But anyway, so with that being said, why would God give Satan the authority to save the life of his servant? And what does that mean? How could Satan save somebody's life when he's out to take lives? In essence, what God is telling Satan, you go do what you do, because what you're doing will make you manifest, and it will eventually save the lives of my people, because they will wake up to the fact that you are their open enemy, and your actions would repel them. You know, we have this thing of light, like what we do, opposites attract, right? And like repels. But soon as these inner workings of the white man are exposed, you'll see his wickedness in all his glory. And it's going to start. He's going to lose his luster. And he will repel you. His world will repel you. You won't want to be like him. You won't want to emulate him. You won't want to integrate into his society, his system, or his culture. Because he really doesn't have a culture. All of it is a mesh of what he took from us. I'm talking to you as your brother. And I'm trying to warn you that we're in a very crucial time. And this is why you see the white man striking out after you. And some of you get impatient with God. But he's the best knower. The Quran wants to satisfy your mind and calm you down a little bit. I, Allah, am the best knower. It ain't say you. It said he. I. That's singular. I'm the best knower. Okay? Want you to know that. Look beyond your pain. Look beyond your sacrifice. Look to the word and the promise that's always true that I give you. So, we're in a time now where America's reaching out, scratching, clawing, pawing, swinging, kicking, biting, spitting, rolling, hopping, jumping to try to maintain the empire at all costs. But this has put her in a very precarious and tenuous situation and predicament that she cannot pull herself or extricate herself out of because of the time. And her time as a ruling power with wealth and unmatched influence is over. Therefore, not only are we living in the fall of America, as, what is his name, Chalmers, I forget his first name. We're looking at the collapse of Western society. You hear them on alternative media telling you this all the time. They're not lying about that. They're lying about everything else behind that. But they're telling you that we're looking at the fall of the American Republic. We're living in the fall of the Western society. And if you go to Jeff Rich, you'll hear how they're always talking about the white people must stand up in Africa or it's going to be a race war. Well, no, the white people just get out. Nobody invited you there. The black Africans are invading Italy and Spain at 3,000 or 13,000 a week. Well, that's a drop in the bucket to what you did to Africa. Is that not right? And how did Italy and Spain and all of Europe develop themselves? It was through black Muslims who cultivated society when you were living and eating your, living with and eating your own dung. And you thought taking baths would get you sick, according to your own history writing. But it took us to go in there and civilize you, but we the savage. Man, you devils are something else. I tell you what, this is bringing about a total collapse economically. And they can't run from this. And this is what has them really scared. Brothers and sisters, I see it's 8 minutes left. I'm going to need a little bit more than 8 minutes from you. Okay? So please don't answer your phone. Please do not answer your phone or you will get clicked off. If they disconnect you, immediately after the show, go and click on the radio on the Hines 1555 blog and listen to the show again. And I also want to say to you before we go to this clip here, I should have said this in the beginning, that the Hines 1555 blog was knocked down for over a week. Our service told us that this was a concentrated and very professional and advanced attack. And what they did, they cut the links to all the articles, but they did it in steps. Then they shut down the website. Okay? And it took us a lot of money, a lot of man hours, a lot of time, a lot of frustration, a lot of prayers to get it back up. Right? And we're asking you, if you have a dollar to go to the Hines 1555 blog and donate. Everything is real. Because we didn't have to put it back up because they kept giving us so much blowback, so much hell to try to put it. But we did it for the benefit of 6 to 8 million of our kind. But back to this. America is on the last legs. And after we come back from this clip, we're going to go to another clip. I'll explain something, then we'll go to another clip. And we may hit 2 or 3 clips, so that's why I'm going to need an extra 10 or 15 minutes from you, okay, brothers and sisters? I didn't know the show was going to run like it was today, and I wasn't expecting the devil to give us a show uninterrupted because they've been bothering everything that we do, all right? As you saw on the last live show, they cut us off right at the end, okay? So I want you to listen closely to this show and this clip here as we give to you this truth. And these devils are telling you, the devils are telling you that what they see coming is something very bad and that the people are lying to you. And let me quote this. As a matter of fact, before we do that, let me go to Our Savior Has Arrived and give you a quote real quick so that you can have with you as you listen to what this man says. Okay? Okay. Here we are. The messenger says in chapter 4 of Our Savior Has Arrived, and it's called The Hidden Truth. The Hidden Truth. In the first paragraph, he writes, hiding the truth is a very serious thing to do. It causes harm and disappointment and causes one to be misled. It causes loss of property and life. It causes the loss of friendship, beloved ones, and loss of confidence and trust. In court, it causes heavy penalties and someone's being sent to prison or to death for that of which they are innocent. Right? I want you to remember this, because America has been lying and she has been justifying the murder of you and I and the murder of millions around the globe through her right to protect. How the hell you gonna have love for people that you bombing when you don't even have people love for people who built your country? Do you ever sit back and think about that? How the hell you gonna humanitarily intervene in a nation when you got so many black people here below the poverty line without jobs and about to lose their cars, their houses, and their livelihood and their families? Yet you talking about going halfway around the world, spending billions of dollars a day bombing somebody to freedom from somebody else. You crazy as hell. This is what I'm talking about, black man and black woman. But flip over to page 11. So Muhammad says, the white race was made by nature without the truth. Jesus said in the Bible in John 8:44, that there was no truth in them. For their father was a liar and a murderer, therefore his children cannot be otherwise. We should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. This is what I continue to teach you, because nobody's out there is telling you about the time. Some of them stuck in 65, 66, 67. Some stuck in the 70s. What I'm going to give to you is the time that time goes on. And if you are not in step with time, you get left behind. You understand? So we have to have the connection point. Prophecy didn't stop in 67. We're at the end of prophecy now. The 60 cannot exceed 70-year grace period, Muhammad puts us in. So he says, and to prove what I'm saying, go back and listen to the shows and look in the Middle East. Tell me whether or not we lied to you. Go back and listen to the shows and look in Asia. Tell me whether we lied to you. Go back and look at what NASA said they finding out in space. Tell me whether we lied to you. What about how to eat to live? Tell me whether we lied to you. Go back and look at the situation and how it's deteriorating in black America. Tell me whether we lied to you. Or go back and look at the economic situation and the political situation here in America herself and tell me if we lied to you. And if you can't, check your pie hole and listen, because we're standing in the ashes of American empire. Okay? So Muhammad says, we should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. That's the main thing. Truth will save you if you believe it. Some of you believe some of it. So you don't believe the other part that you don't agree with. Is that not right? Is that not the mind of the Negroes? Dressing up like they Muslim. Don't believe what Muhammad says this. Negro, you just as phony as you can be. Phony as a $3 bill. Alright? But he says, and I have to repeat this. Sometimes you'll hear me read something 3, 4, 5 times. And you know why I'm doing that to you? Because I want you to see that I'm not altering anything that is said. And I want you to understand how it is said or written for you, how it is said to you, so that you can see it plain and simple. Because sometimes we read, but we don't get the understanding. We can't get it. So for all of you who are listening, listen to what he says and how he says it. We should know, not guess, but we should know. How do we know? Because of certain situation that arises which proves to the fact, right? We should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. Well, I'm going to get me a gun. I'm going to get me a Smith & Wesson. He did not say the gun would save your life. The truth would save your life. America is at war with the darker people, brown, yellow, and every race regardless of color today. But She refuses to tell you the truth of this war that is now taking many lives. So she goes and bombs Syria. She goes and bombs Palestine. She goes and bombs Lebanon. She goes and bombs Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Mali, North Africa. Now she's setting up her weapons on Russia's borders, all in Afghanistan, all in Pakistan, surrounding China, everywhere. She's desperate. Muhammad says, America is at war with the darker people. She's at war with you. That's what you don't want to hear. Look what she did. She just banned Muslims from coming in. She passed another law against you and I. Did you know that? Go Google it. She's over there starting trouble with all of these nations, and yet she still finds time to kick you in your behind. Is that not right? Come on, talk back to your brother. But Mama says, but she refuses to tell you the truth of this war that has now taken many lives. This is hiding the truth. What is she trying to get peace for? If these people's losses are as great as the radio and other news media state, the enemy would be on his knees begging for peace. It seems as if it is now vice versa. This is hiding the truth. Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. So she's not going to tell you that Russia is thumping her behind. She'll say, Russia said, don't fly over here. We flew our planes over there. Then she won't tell you. She called Russia, please let us fly planes over here. Please, please, don't shoot them down. But we had disagreement here. She won't tell you. She went behind closed doors and said all that. But she'll make it seem like Russia pumped out. Syria pumped out. This is how she does. She'll do you like that. She'll make you believe the lie is the truth in it. She does it to each and every one of you. If you have a beef or a grievance with your own brother or sister, and that devil hates that brother or sister, that devil can set that person up. You could have known that person your whole life. That devil will do his magic lines, and he'll turn that person that you have known every day of your life into the most dreaded person, and you'll say, I knew that nigga was like that. I didn't like him from the jump. And that's how we are. We turn on each other, but we got so much love and forgiveness for everybody outside of our own. And this should not be. Oh, wait, people ain't bad. Well, that's not for you to decide. Let the Lord of the world sort it out. What you should be focused on is doing for self, preparing yourself, separating yourself mentally so that you can be separated physically. Things like that. Loving your brother, speaking to that black man that lives two houses down from you, that sister that lives a house down from you or across the street. But you go out your way at your job. Hey, Miss Sharon. And then you get back with your black butt. I can't stand that old white cracker. That's what you say. I heard it all the time. I hear it all the time. And then as soon as they walk by, you do the step and fetch dance. Yes, sir. How you doing? This is the mentality that you have. Because you still think that this white man has power. But you'll see in this 5-minute clip that he is in trouble. Economically. All right? I want you to pay close attention. This is almost 6 minutes, and we'll come back with another clip, and we'll try to end the show. I feel your patience, but give me at least 2 or 3 clips, okay? Here we go.
Welcome to the Silver Report on Cut. Here we are. It's Wednesday, June 28th, 2017. And now, we had two of these Federal Reserve heads, Fed heads, whatever you want to call them, come out and they had two separate speeches. Now, they had some varying opinions.
First off, Janet Yellen, she went on, she was discussing how that she doesn't think that she's going to see any kind of economic crisis in her lifetime. In fact, whenever you hear statements like that from the head of the Federal Reserve, that's when it's time to really panic, because largely we know that it's not true. It's not true at all. She knows it's not true. She's been warning for months that we could be facing an overheating economy and that they need to raise interest rates. And so there's a little inside look into just what they're doing with the interest rates, and I'll get to that in just a moment when we discuss the other Federal Reserve heads' statements. Now, Janet Yellen, she seems to be largely ignorant of the fact that U.S. supply orders have dropped. Also, the GDP has dropped. Housing starts have dropped for 3 consecutive months, which has not happened, except we were in the midst of a major recession. We have yield curves inverting. And despite all that, we have extremely high market valuations right now. Kind of leads you to believe that she really has an agenda. Ultimately, that's because Stanley Fischer from the Federal Reserve in San Francisco, he was just about screaming sell at the top of his lungs. The Fed officials are getting concerned about where asset markets are going. Fischer says it would be foolish to think all risks eliminated. Fischer, he also called for close monitoring of risk appetites. Now, he's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. He said in an interview on Australian TV that there seems to be a price-to-perfection attitude out there, and it seems very similar to Ms. Yellen's attitude at this particular moment, that the stock market rally still seems to be running very much on fumes. So that's a bold statement, despite the fact that Janet Yellen is saying that she is never going to see a financial crisis in her lifetime. While she lives, now granted she's very old, but still, that's a bold statement, seeing how he's saying that the stock market rally is running on fumes, that there is no actual substance behind it. Now, he goes on, quote, "We are seeing some reach for yield and some maybe excess risk-taking in the financial systems with very low rates. As we move interest rates back to more normal, I think that people will pull back on that." So it kind of makes you wonder why they're actually raising interest rates. He went on to say, "I'm somewhat concerned about the complacency in the market. If you look at these measures of uncertainty like the VIX measure and other indicators, there seems to be a price perfection attitude out there." Quote, "The stock market still seems to be running very much on fumes, or is very strong in terms of that. So something that clearly is a risk to the U.S. economy. Some correction there is something that we have to be prepared for and to respond to if it does happen," unquote. So the question is that the Federal Reserve is filled with these academics. That's what they love to say. Oh, they're all full of academics. They're not bankers. They're not real world economy people. And the real truth of the matter is the fact that they are not a federal institution, and they don't care about our economy, and they don't care about the citizens in this country. Their purpose is to make themselves rich off the backs of the working men and children in America. In fact, their ideal situation would be more of a Chinese-style socialist setup where we are all working like slaves every day of the week, living in company sanctioned apartment ghettos, and we never leave. The only clothes that we own is our uniform for work. I'm sure they'll be very much pleased with that kind of a setup more than what they have now. And that seems to be the way that they are turning America into right now, as we continually settle for lower wages in our jobs, continually settle for more credit cards just to keep ourselves afloat, and keep chasing this carrot at the end of the stick they call success and progress and really getting nowhere. And at the same time, these academics, these financial masters, how can they come up with two completely different viewpoints on the economy? Someone is not being honest. Someone has another motive, or maybe they both do. It's interesting, Janet Yellen also mentioned the fact that she doesn't think that the Dodd-Frank regulation should be rolled back and some of the regulations on the banks. And I guess she's neglecting to divulge the fact that the Federal Reserve has acquired the most amount of power that it ever has over the American economy in the wake of the financial crisis in 2008. Laws were manipulated by politicians they put into office in order to give them maximum control over the fate of the United States economy, which once was the most powerful economic engine in the world. They are bleeding us dry, and they don't want to tell you that some of those things that are being undone are their very control structures that have been put in place. So you tell me, what's the agenda? All right, thank you guys for joining us here at the Silver Report Uncut.
And so, if you listen to him, you see the frustration in it. You hear the frustration. You see, you hear that he knows that the collapse is imminent. He knows that things are not going to return the same. He knows, and he says they keep hiding stuff. Well, let's go back to page 11. Listen what Muhammad says. Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. The black man of America never has put any confidence in anyone but his white slave master, regardless of how ill-treated the black man may be. He still has hopes of his master telling him the truth. That goes back to that brother that has that radio show. And he's talking about, we need to do this and we need to force them to do this and accept us and blah, blah. He doesn't understand. He doesn't realize that his open enemies would never willingly tell him the truth. This is why they keep him separated from their economic prosperity. They don't want you to see how wicked and how evil and how corrupt they are in their own workings. I was showing my mother one day. We were having coffee, and I was telling her about Bill Clinton. We was talking about Bill Clinton, and I was telling her how black people were suckered by that snake, and how Ron Brown, one of his secretaries and one of his so-called friends, was murdered, and how they say it was a clear sky that day. I mean, I'm just giving you this to understand, so you can understand just how wicked this devil is and how he has no remorse if he kills you. This is a good example. So I was telling her about how Ron Brown was under a lot of pressure to turn state's evidence against the Clintons. He was under a lot of pressure. And so Bill Clinton booked him a trip to Europe. He was to take one of the planes. His family stayed back. The plane was said to have crashed due to bad weather, but all of the weather reports that they said that it was excellent and clear. And what's amazing about this is that after the plane crash, according to examiners who were on the ground there, Ron Brown was still alive. But from the time they got him from the crash site to the autopsy, to the hospital, he was dead with a bullet wound to the back of his head. Now, I was telling my mom about that, and I was showing her the paperwork and stuff, and she was reading this stuff. And then I said, to show you just how low down this devil is, I want you to look at this video of Bill Clinton. So we're looking at Ron Brown's wake. Bill Clinton and all of the so-called high people were going to his wake. And I said, look at him. When he didn't think the cameras was on him, as he and his other white buddy got out, they were laughing and making jokes and just jovial. I'm serious. They were laughing, making jokes. And I would assume, talking about Ron Brown, foolish tale for taking him as a friend. And as soon as Bill Clinton looked to the side, I said, Mom, watch what he does. When he saw the cameras, the show started. Tears started coming out of his eyes. He started wiping his eyes and all of this stuff, holding his head down like he was heartbroken. This is how the devil works. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. He's your open enemy. And you can't dispute the evidence because I provided her with evidence and then showed her the video. When you get involved with this devil, the devil becomes your master. And by rights, he is set over as judge over you and can kill you because you become a part of his system. That's only right if you become part of God's system and you disobey God. God will kill you. Well, if Satan says he wants to be like the Most High, surely he would enact some of that stuff too, right? This is what I'm telling you. Because we're standing in the ashes of empire, you must awaken because the time is so serious. As a matter of fact, before we play a clip, let me read this to you. Let's flip over to the next page, since I'm talking about that. And remember, I stay with the time. As a matter of fact, this chapter is titled, Chapter 5, The Time. If you who disbelieve in the truth would only consider what? What is he asking us to consider? Huh? Integrating. Join the political system. Doing X, Y, and Z. This is what he says. If you who disbelieve in the truth would only consider the time in which we now live, you would bear witness that it is the very truth from your God that I am teaching. Just when should we expect truth to be triumphant? The answer is after the removal of falsehood. Stop right there. So, God is destroying the pillars of power. See, the whole world is a Walt Disney world. It's illusion. And feel good. I should do whatever I want. I do whatever I feel. Isn't that the saying of the day? This is their world. They don't want to be bound by rules and regulations, which govern the very laws, which govern the very universe. They don't want to be bound by that. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. I should be able to do how I want to do it, how I feel. This is the mind of Yakub. This is the mind of Satan. This is the mind of your open enemy, the devil, to disobey God. God says, thou should not commit this, and thou should not do that. And yeah, we fall short of the glory, you know, but I'm just saying, if you're making a strident effort, well, I knew a brother, you know, who had his, we all have our burdens, and sometimes situations, we fold up behind, in our closet. But as long as we present ourselves in the right way to the people as we're struggling behind closed doors, struggle, this is a fight. You're trying to overcome these things which keep you down. We all have them. I have them. You know? Don't give in to the temptations of the devil. And by saying that is this. When I say don't give in, I mean don't submit to him. Because we all going to fall short of the glory of God. And we all going to do things which are not seemly at times. Because we're living in this world. Right? And sometimes pressure on a person will cloud your judgment. Anybody can fall victim to that. And if you fall down, don't stay down. Get back up. Okay? Listen to what he says. The answer is after the removal of falsehood. Well, if America is the greatest deceiver of this world, greatest power of this world, then for truth to be triumphant, America must be removed because she stands as the greatest obstacle to truth. And all of her allies must be removed because they are her Du Bois, and they are obstacles to the establishment of truth. Therefore, we have a monetary crisis. Therefore, we have a social explosion. Therefore, we have total disagreement in the breakdown of government and society. Is that not right? We're living in the fall of America. We're living in the fall of the world of the white man. I wanted to play a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm gonna jump, and I want you to listen to what Paul Craig Roberts has to say about America. I'm not gonna even play all the clips I have of him. I'm gonna play one clip, and we're gonna wind it down, okay? This is a 2-minute clip, 2 minutes and 38 seconds. I know time is of the essence, and I don't want to hold you too long, but I want you to listen to what he has to say about America, and see whether or not he thinks she's still great. See whether or not America's still wealthy. See whether or not America still controls everything. This is the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, who lives about an hour away from me, Paul Craig Roberts, about an hour, hour and a half away from me, down in Destin. Anyway, I want you to listen, not even an hour and a half, about an hour away from me. I want you to listen to what he has to say here. This is 2 minutes, 38 seconds.
You're on Chinese and Indians. We're killing the domestic American market. So possibly you could get that realization if there were enough people making the point. It would probably take years because it takes years for the simplest kind of thing to spread into a general understanding. And then whoever is president might be able to get Congress to agree to this change, and the corporations might not oppose it. But other than that, I don't think much can be done. The United States is actually becoming a third world country. If you look at the employment of its labor, it's consistently in lowly paid domestic service jobs, waitresses, bartenders, retail clerks, hospital orderlies. This is essentially India 50 years ago. And if you look at the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics projections, where jobs will grow most in the next 10 years, there's only two places that require any kind of college education. One is school teachers, and the other is registered nurses, which have to have a 2-year community college degree. That's it. So education is not the answer. You know, they've been saying education is the answer, education is the answer. There are all kinds of educated people who can't get jobs that they were trained for. So, no, I don't think the economy can be restored. What's happening now is that older people, older Americans, retired, who had good company pension plans, who also saved and invested at a time when the markets were rational. And they also have Social Security, and they're now supporting their children and their grandchildren. But they've not had any interest income on their savings since when? 2008, because of the zero interest rate policy. So they've had to draw down their savings. And so as these savings are exhausted, and of course they won't be there to leave to heirs, so the system is being emptied of the savings of the past in order to support current existence. So I think on the whole, the United States as an economic system is washed up, and that there's nothing that can be done about it, just given the nature of how politics are structured and how decisions are made.
Now,
so, he said he doesn't think there's nothing that can be done to save the system of America. It's done. He says that America has become a third world nation. It's becoming a third world nation. He said, if you look at all of the indicators, look, this is something telling here. This is why we're standing in the ashes of the American empire. And remember, this stuff is happening in this time frame of the 60 to not exceed 70 year rule extension. Remember, why is all these things happening that Muhammad said would happen in this period of time? Why are they starting to happen, or not starting to happen, but pick up more pace, more steam in that time frame? These are things that you got to ponder over now. But he said that all, if you look at the indicators, the American system, her economy, is where India was 50 years ago. Did you just hear what I said? She's not progressing. She's digressing. You understand? The American indicators indicate all of the economic barometers and indicators say that she is in decay, decline. She's collapsing. And he says, there's no way out of this. I don't think you can't rebuild the system. You can't rebuild it. This is it for it. He says, and for all of you who have those good pension plans, he says, the government of America is robbing the savings of yesterday to pay for the right now. He said they're emptying the savings of the people, so there will not be savings for tomorrow. In essence, you are living in a bankrupted culture, a bankrupted nation, a bankrupted society, and a bankrupted global order. And God himself has declared that we are now in the fall of America. And you're standing in the ashes of empire. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I don't love you to death. I love you to life. But my love for you always, always pales in comparison to the love that Almighty God Allah, who has come in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, that man who I stand behind, beside, and if it need be, I stand in front to take a bullet for. The last and the greatest of the messengers of God loves you. And believe me, never forget that the true followers, which are designated as that mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam, loves you best. Brothers and sisters, stay true, stay up, but above all things, stay right. Until we meet again, Mother loves you.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules.
It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handled like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.